morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 54, 56 minutes today. Interesting guest. I tried counseling him, but he's already been in politics as a Stockbridge selectman. God bless. and now he's lost. He's totally lost his mind. And he's running for the seat that our friend Smitty Pignatelli filled for, 20-something years. His name is Patrick White. You see him. He's as I just told him, I'm very jealous of him. He has hair. But Patrick, good morning.
Good morning to you, Bill.
And let me just say, I read your announcement, your press piece here. You've done a lot of really, I'm going to say, good but difficult things to get done as a select person. Housing stuff and things like that. Ice Glen, I mean, you're active in the community. You're not just a functionary. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I thank you. First of all, that's very nice of you to say. I think that one of the challenges that we face is that there are many issues on many fronts, and a lot of them are all interrelated. And I try to do a deep dive on each one of them. Yeah. For me, it's often you mentioned Ice Glen. I got a chance to work with a guy named Bob Leverett, who is the worldwide dean of old growth forests. And a guy named Ken Gooch, who was the former head of DCR's Department of Conservation and Recreation's Forestry Health. He was the director of Forestry Health. I try to bring in the experts to help me solve problems, because none of us can be a subject matter expert at every single thing.
No. And again, let's give the folks who don't know who you are. I mean, it's to me, people who take public office, especially in today's world, they're committed people, and I mean that in a positive way. I used to say people who went into public office should have been committed, but really and truly, give us a 30,000-foot view of who is Patrick White.
Sure. I grew up here in the Berkshires. I actually, my parents moved here in 1957. My dad worked at General Electric, got a job out of the army, like a lot of folks.
Yeah.
My parents bought the house. Actually, I inherited, I live in, when my dad was 24 and my mom was 21, she was a chambermaid at Wheatley. I then went to college in Boston. I lived in Boston for a long while. While my family was still out here, I'm very cognizant of the need and role of the middle class in a functioning society in general, and the need to kind of bring the middle class back to the Berkshires. You know, we've got way too low birth rates, way too aging of population in my town. The average age is 63, whereas in Massachusetts it's 39. And we really got it. The Berkshires are an aging population.
Yeah.
We're going to need to attract some new young folks. We're going to have to make a case for why they should choose the Berkshires. We're going to need to retain more young folks. And I think a lot of these issues are intersectional. There's issues around housing. There's issues around jobs. There's issues around maintaining rural lifestyle and the beauty of the Berkshires. And I really have tried to focus my energy and initiatives on keeping a way of life out here that I think is really important to protect.
You know, you nailed it on the head. This morning I was watching the business news, and they were saying by 2030, many of these high-rise office buildings will be empty.
That's right.
So I often felt we could entice people to move here. And you're dead on. We need housing, affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the one thing, we need high-speed internet, and stop excusing. Let's just get it out here. And people can work in Boston but live here.
Yeah.
And,
I think that remote work is...
Let me applaud you for having that kind of vision.
Yeah, I think that remote work is the absolute benefit here. I think that sometimes, you know, I get the sense that we could do a better job at even, you know, doing a roadshow, you know, to letting people know what our things are. You know, I was in the tech space in Boston and started a couple of companies that got some venture capital funding. And, you know, for every five venture capital companies that are in your deal, you probably had to talk to 50. And it's a roadshow. You actually go out on the road and you promote something. And I think we got to be a little bit more, we got to do a better job at promoting the benefits of this lifestyle. Let's face it. It's a, you know, the Berkshire, there's a lot of rural places in the country, but not many of them have all the fun things to do that the Berkshires have.
Exactly.
And we could do a better job of letting people know that. You know, I think that that you know, I focused a great deal when you talk about affordable housing. I really think it's an issue of affordability in addition to just affordable housing. Affordable housing is kind of subsidized housing, you know, and I believe that that we absolutely need to scale that up. I focus on some initiatives to fund it with local revenue streams, because that's how you preference locals in the decision-making process. It's local trusts. If, you know, you're using state and federal money, you know, at Heaton Court, which is our elderly housing in Stockbridge, we've got 1,700 people on the waiting list because everybody can apply because it was funded with, you know, with the federal money. And what we need to do is we need to look at how we, you know, so for example, I live across the street. I'm looking literally right out at the Tanglewood property. I love Tanglewood. I have lived across the street from it my whole life, you know, and it's a great resource. And thank God for all the good work that folks do in to promote tourism around here, because that really saved the Berkshires after GE left. But let's face it, you know, Tanglewood now if you're buying a James Taylor ticket this week, they added $9 to your checkout fee, and that's okay. I think if the BSO needs to figure out ways to make money, it's great. My point is this: maybe they should add $11 or $12 to the checkout fee, and we can put $3 of local money that would generate into some of the challenges we have in South County, like housing or like roads and bridges. We've got a lot of things, you know, up in Dalton there. You know, Tom, the town manager, told me they've got $20 million in unfunded roads and bridges. How about we figure out some creative ways to fund that so that it doesn't increase the property tax burden? Because, you know, right now, Massachusetts relies really heavily on property taxes.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, we can't control the price of a house, but we can control the cost of running a household. And so when we keep things like, you know, dump sticker fees and the cost of roads and bridges, you know, all this burden falls on property taxpayers, and it's just one more thing that makes houses unaffordable for the people who want to raise a family here.
And it's so true. The other piece, if I can just throw, I am part of the aging group. Probably don't look at me for saying that. I hear a lot. Oh, we're an aging community. What? How do I want to put this? What are you doing for that group of people who have been paying taxes here for a long time?
That's right.
Here's my example. You go out to Walmart, every handicapped parking space is taken.
Mm-hmm.
You go down North Street, there's maybe one per block now. And I think that's one thing. I think what you're saying is also correct. If it's funded locally, it's controlled locally, then the local people have more faith in it. That would be me. I'd be more willing to donate to something I knew I was being run locally and funded locally than you know, some other things.
Yeah. And you know, I'll give you another example from Heaton Court. So there's 53 units there and 52 are single. So it's elderly, relatively, you know, people of modest means, because, you know, it's public housing. So it's, you know, it's both asset and income controlled. And so 52 people are in a single. So they wanted to build some flower beds and improve the television in their community room, because with the thought that maybe people who are watching a movie together are having a little bit more fun than less isolated. than they are. And we couldn't get the TV part done because, you know, the rules around how we could spend government money to, you couldn't use it to buy a TV. It's a long story, but so I reached out to somebody in town here and asked them to donate a TV, and they wrote a check for, you know, I think a couple $1,000, yeah, and they donated a TV. And, you know, when it comes to affordable housing, I reached out to a local family of some means, and they ended up donating $1 million parcel, you know, I worked with them on. And I don't want to take credit for that. That's all on them, you know. Yeah. But the fact is that there's a lot of folks of good heart, kind heart, in the Berkshires, and a lot of folks who have means. And I think that when we look at how we you know, create an aspirational environment, you know, I'm not much for demonizing folks, because, you know, I think that a lot of the problems we have are systemic challenges in this country, but, you know, people will step up if you ask them. You just have to look around. And I think that's another thing that gives me hope for the Berkshires. You know, I think that, you know, talking about seniors, you know, I focus on the little things. You know, my take is I'm an economist by training, and you don't often get the things that change the needle, that move the needle, you know, in terms of like hitting the lottery or something. What people can do, what we can do for folks, is you look at every 1% of what their expenses are. I've supported a tax policy, for example, and no one else, mostly no one else, in terms of select board folks in the county, have supported it yet. But I think that we need to take a second look on it. That reduces the tax burden for the people in the most modest homes. You save people $100 on a dump sticker, you save them $500 on their taxes. That's money that they can use to go to a concert. You know, I know a lot of people who maybe only afford to go to a concert, and maybe they like going out for a coffee, but if their taxes go up $200 or $300 that year, they stop. You can't not pay your taxes. You lose your home. Yeah. You know, so what they do is they stop going out for the morning coffee, and their life is just a little bit less rich. I want people to be able to go to the movies or get a coffee or see their neighbors. I want them to go to a dinner party and not avoid going because they can't spend $10 on a bottle of wine to bring to the host. You know, these are the little things that improve people's quality of life. And I'm absolutely committed to looking at every single way that we can keep people's costs down.
Well, I can tell you too, the other piece, just to throw that in, because I have Jim Clark, who's the executive director of our senior center here, the Friel Senior Center. And the other thing about bringing people into the community room to watch TV, it's called socialization.
Yeah, that's right.
One of the biggest, I can't think of another word, afflictions to elderly people. They get an apartment, and you, like you're saying, I mean, my wife and I are both retired. We're okay. But we used to have fixed incomes. Now we have shrinking incomes. And you're right. I want to applaud for what you're saying. It isn't I'm going to cut $150, $200 off your taxes. Yes, that would be nice. You're not going to do that. But if you can save me $10 here and $5 there, and senior parking,
we can't cut $200 out of your taxes. Let me give you one example.
Okay.
Senator Paul Mark, who I'm so fond of and think such a great job. I just read a piece he wrote that pointed out that the state has $9 billion in reserves. $9 billion. All right. I'm a math guy. All right. By training, I'm a math guy. All right. So, you know, go back to that Dalton, that $20 million in bridges. The going rate right now for borrowing is 5% for a municipality. If we could access those reserves, we already can do this with water. It's called the Clean Water Trust. So if you need a new water system, the state will loan you money at 1%. All right. How about we take some of that $9 billion and we say, as we have to invest in infrastructure and housing, we're able to borrow at that same low percent. That basically takes the interest that you'll pay on that loan and cuts it nearly in half over the life of that loan. It's like buying a car. If you buy a car and you get 1% financing versus 7% financing, your car payments are like half. All right.
Yeah.
So you know, we got to look at creative ways to make it easier for these town selectmen and city councilors to select board members, I should say, to make it easier to make the right decisions, because these things are blooming in the future. I'll tell you another thing, that I'm really worried about, and that Smitty has done such a good job in providing leadership on, is the whole issue with ambulance and EMS, especially in the more rural communities. My mom, God rest her soul, had a stroke on the front porch. And the ambulance was able to get her in 3 minutes. She still died on the way up to Lenox. And my dad had a heart attack in the backyard and made it inside the house and died upstairs in his bedroom. And but the fact is, that if you have a heart attack, you have a stroke, and you get there within 6 or 8 minutes, that person has a chance to live. And if you get there in 20 or 30 minutes, they don't. These decisions are life or death decisions. And how we kind of figure these things out. Sure, they're expensive and they're complicated. We need more young people to go into these careers, because careers need to pay more so that people can raise a family on them. They've got to have housing so they can stay in this area. These are all really complicated issues that are interrelated, I think. But the bottom line is, that's how we're going to take care of folks in this community, is look at these look at these bare bones things, look at these aspirational things, and come up with workable solutions for them.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, we are a morning show, Patrick, so there were people in and out, and I would say, and they are getting kids on the bus to go to camp. I'm honored to have with me today Patrick White. He is a select person, select person in Stockbridge currently, and he is running for the Berkshire 3rd District to fill the seat being vacated by Smitty Pignatelli, who you all know from this show. He's been on as long as I've been on the radio. And Patrick just gave a very nice compliment to Smitty. One of the things that we all are looking at, Patrick, is I guess the continued collegiality amongst among the Western Mass folks to get stuff done in Boston.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you mentioned Paul Mark. He's on the show every month. I think the world of him. I thought when he was a rep, now he's a senator. And TFB and John Barrett and I go back. I can't say enough good about John Barrett. Again, you'll be part of that. If you get elected, you'll be part of that team.
That's right. Let me just start with Smitty first. My sister and Smitty's brother Scotty were actually first communion at St. Anne's and Lenox together. My parents go way back. They were very active in the community. I've been fond of the Pignatellis. They just came up Pignatelli Electric, and I had an ant infestation in the power box at my garage, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't charge my Prius. So Pignatelli Electric was out here helping out. What a great family that is. What a dedicated public servant. I'm so happy that that Lennox was able to secure him to help with this interim town manager job. That is just great for Lennox and great for him that he can bring all that knowledge of this community back there.
That's it.
And I'll tell you this about Boston. Okay. I lived in Boston for a couple of decades. All right. And I started some companies in Boston. I had a lead VC in one of my deals. What was the Massachusetts Technology Development Corporation is now Mass Ventures. All right.
Okay.
I have a really strong Rolodex of Boston. The guy that was the first director of Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination was a good friend of mine. The former chief of staff and the head of the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, good friends of mine. I've got contacts at all the big law firms because of the work I did there. I've got a really strong base of contacts in the Boston area. I lived in the Chair of Ways and Means. I lived in his district for 10 years. And all this time, my parents were living out here. I was back and forth all the time. But I think that good decisions are made. You know, in a perfect world, it would be the best idea wins. That's not how it always works. It's relationships. And I hope I can bring, if I get this job, I hope one of the things I can bring to the table is to bridge some of those relationships that I built over decades in Boston with relationships here in the Berkshires.
Well, as you look at different things, you know, the one thing, I'm all for cutting taxes. Obviously, I pay taxes.
Yeah.
But one of the things, and I've cautioned is other people who run for like city council and select people, and was this: be careful, think first, look at long range. You're going to say Pittsfield, you're going to close a fire station. Really?
Yeah.
Then what you don't see is the hidden cost. You all of a sudden that fire insurance goes up.
Yep.
Years ago, we had a really bad winter. A lot of, well, you know this stuff, but, and all of a sudden, a friend of mine, I was working in the insurance industry and said, you know, if we're not careful, we have another season like that, our insurance rates are going to start to go up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they need people, in government with various backgrounds. Yours is certainly one of the ones I would be looking to bring in. And I think you understand the difficulties of the job. A lot of people run for like even select board. They get on and go, I didn't think it was all this. I mean,
it's a finance job. It really is. It's a finance. Yeah. Being on a select board or city council, you know, you're really coming up with budgets. It's raise and appropriate, they say. Raises the taxes and appropriate is spend the money. And I'll tell you, it's you know, but in Stockbridge we kept, you know, this year, you know, we you try to balance doing the right thing and keeping people's taxes down. So in the last 3 years, we taxes went up in Stockbridge 1.3%, I think around 1%, and then around 4%. And the last year, this current budget, which went up a little more, was because I insisted that we give our union and non-union employees a cost of living in their contract. So basically, like, you know, you in COVID, the 3 years of COVID timeframe, inflation was 17%. And in our local contract, people were only getting a 2% raise. So in just 3 years, they lost 10% purchasing power. Not only is that wrong if you're trying to raise a family with a municipal job on highway or water, sewer, you know, in town hall, police, fire, but it's also bad because it gets that much harder to be able to, attract and retain folks who are going to be able to keep these jobs. You know, in the Cape right now, they're having a terrible time recruiting firefighters and police force members and the municipal employees, because, you know, the commute over the Bourne Bridge to some of these outer towns can be an hour on a good day, 2 hours on a bad day. We can't let that happen here in the Berkshires. So, you know, I really feel like it goes back to, you know, every type of middle-class jobs, you know, more manufacturing, you know, I love the entrepreneurs. I love the second homeowners. I mean, the second homeowners, you know, help us, there's a lot of people who are self-employed, electricians and plumbers and landscapers and HVAC, you know, maintenance that really rely on these communities who have a little bit more discretionary income. You know, I think that we've got to keep focusing on jobs and on you know, really making sure that what's always made the Berkshires a well-rounded community, that we can maintain that.
The piece too, you seem to be have a good handle on housing, and I'm reading your, you know, housing trust proposal. To me, that's kind of the future.
Yeah.
It takes vision. You know, it's like with us. I mean, I used to look 5 years ahead. Well, now I'm in my late 70s. I look like a day and a half ahead. But, I think sometimes we get, correct me if anything I say offends you or hurt, but I think sometimes politicians get bogged down in today.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, look at, I like, you know, there's really two parts of, of what a housing trust can do. The first is, is rental units, which have a little more scale to them. And you see at Brushwood and Lennox, Mary Beth Mitz, I know she's in the race against me. That she is a fantastic select board member in Lennox. She's really taken a lot of leadership role in housing in Lennox. I have a ton of respect for Lee Davis. I've worked next to Jamie Manassi, for a couple of years now. There's a lot of good folks in this race, and I'll just leave it at that. But when we talk about housing, looking at rental units and Great Barrier's doing a good job on that. Lennox, obviously Pittsfield is doing that in the West End. I think the other piece of that is also looking at affordability for home ownership. So our model in Stockbridge is going to be, I wrote that residential inclusionary bylaw, which says, if you're going to develop a parcel and build 10 luxury units that might sell for a couple million dollars each, that's great. But for every 10, they got to pay about $400,000 into a trust. And I want to use that money to subsidize home ownership. So, let's say that you're a teacher making $60,000 and an EMT worker making $35,000, they still qualify under the area median income rules to get a subsidy on a home ownership. So, you can get a modular house and the land, even a place like Stockbridge for around $400,000. So let's say they can only afford a $300,000 mortgage. So that extra $100,000 comes from that subsidy from those luxury units and allows us to preference locals as we do it. And the great thing about that is that they can't turn around and flip it. That's a deed restricted for 15 years. That means that family is going to be raising their kids in the community. And that's exactly what we need, is to focus on those long-term stability of families. Yes. And you tie them in. It's like the golden handcuffs sort of thing. I like the idea of, people aren't looking for something for free. They just need it to be a little bit easier to make the numbers work. And that's where then if you can keep their taxes down as low as possible and you can keep their other expenses down, I think that we can do a better job at focus on that affordability. I think that the state level, we're gonna have to take a hard look at electric costs. We all want everyone to put in solar. I've heard rumors that there's a proposal that the transmission part of the solar rebate, if you put solar on your roof, you sell kilowatts back to the grid.
Right.
Yeah. There's generation and transmission, and they want to cut out the subsidies. The return, it's not a subsidy. The return that the credit you get for transmission, that would be bad for climate. It would be bad for folks who want to make that investment or have already done so. So I wouldn't support that. But keep all the costs down and help people get into a home. That's my goal.
Well, we're going to take a break. I'm here today for the people of the third region, the people of Stockbridge know this guy. He's a Stockbridge selectman. Patrick White is running for the third district, which seat Smitty Pignatelli is vacating after all these years and all he's done, not only for his district, but for Western Mass and the entire Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Patrick, you'll be interested in this. I knew his dad. I'm that old. I knew his dad, and I had such respect for him.
Well, whose dad? Smitty's?
Yeah.
John.
I called him Mr. Pignatelli.
Yeah, it was
said,
John.
No, right? Call me John. I said, listen, I don't call a lot of people Mr. Mm-hmm. Only people I respect. And he was, and Smitty is kind of a mirror image in this respect. He was a representative of the people. I knew him when he was a county commissioner. We're going to take a break. I'm here with Patrick White. Please come back. It's going to be a race. And if the others want to come out, all they have to do is get a hold of me. Now,
I'll tell you this, though, just a quick note. Do you remember, I don't know if you knew Denny Duffin. Do you remember Denny Duffin?
Yes, sure, Dennis Duffin,
So my dad ran the rink in Lennox back before Shakespeare and Company was Shakespeare and Company. Back before it was Bible Speak.
Lennox School.
It was a rink. It was like school, and it was the H. George Wilde Sports Center.
Yeah.
And my dad is a second gig job because, you know, family's trying to make ends meet.
Yeah,
He ran the rink there, and so he was good friends with Denny Duffin. And I remember Mrs. Shartok, who's still with us, Roselle Shartok.
yeah.
She was she was one of my teachers in I think freshman year of high school. And Denny came in and talked to my, I asked Mr. Duffin, would you come in and speak to our class? And he came in and spoke. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of, I have a lot of really fond memories of the Pignatellis and the Duffins and all those, you know, all the, those folks
Yeah.
from yesteryear, you know?
This program and this radio station is a huge supporter of Shakespeare and Company. I have Alan on, maybe once every 5-6 weeks. I do want to say this too. This is how old I am. I played on that rink because I played hockey for PHS.
So you must have known Russ White. He was one of the Tri-Town coaches, and he ran that rink for a while.
Yeah,
he was the last one.
Believe me,
yeah.
I'm a lot older than that. I'll probably look, but I look old too. Folks, it is the 4th of July. I am a Vietnam veteran. This is our flag, all of our flags. Please don't desecrate it. Just if you get a chance over the 4th of July, drive through a cemetery and you'll see all flags that look just like this blowing in the wind. Underneath that flag is someone who at one point in their life signed an oath that they would give their life for that flag. We'll
That's
be right
right.
back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. This is an interesting conversation with Patrick White.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Mobile Farmers Market returns this summer. Our mission is to support local farms by bringing their fresh food to communities across Berkshire County. We sell seasonal produce, eggs, meat, cheese, bread, and more. Plus, we offer a sliding scale payment system. We'll be in Adams, North Adams, Beckett, Monterey, and two Pittsfield locations from June through October. Find out more at berkshiremobilefarmersmarket.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, folks, we are back. I'm here today. The good-looking guy with hair, he's Patrick White, and he's running for the third Berkshire District, the seat vacated by our friend Smitty Pignatelli. He's an interesting guy. He's been a select. He's on the select board at in Stockbridge, and I want to get into a piece of history, and he kind of went over it at the break, but I want to get into it on air. A land conservation grant partnered with the Stockbridge Muncie Mohegan Tribe to obtain $2.4 million dollars, conserving 351 acres at the Monument Mountain Base, contributing personally to the grant's climate and blah, blah, blah. Tell the folks, I mean, it's a fascinating story. And you know, I don't tell Smitty, but I go into the Berkshire 3rd District without a pass. I've been down to the Unicorn a couple of times this summer. And let me give this a plug. If you haven't, get out and see. I think you would love this. Mm-hmm. Abe Lincoln in Illinois.
I heard that was great.
It shows, it's not a history thing. It shows mm-hmm. Lincoln's humanity. I left there totally inspired. Yeah. But tell us about the what you're doing with the tribe. And
so, you know, look at, I feel very strongly that it's the tribe story to tell, and the tribe sets their own priorities. So, you know, I think it's great to be able to support what they feel their priorities should be. And I've tried to be a good resource to help them implement or get things over the finish line. You know, I think, and first of all, you know, let's give credit where it's due. It was Berkshire Natural Resources that actually donated the grant writer that helped with that grant. Jenny sure. Hansel, fantastic, fantastic resource. There was a portion of that grant that they asked me to write, because to get the grant, you had to go through the Municipal Vulnerabilities Preparedness Plan, which was the state funding or granting authority. And Stockbridge had recently gone through it. I was the person who managed that. So I was able to write the portion of the grant that talked about Stockbridge's climate plans. You know, I think that specific parcel's got like six important biomaps. So just as a conservation property, it was really, really important. I believe that the tribe's plan is going to just let it go back to nature, which I think is great. There's other priorities that the tribe has. You know, one of their dreams is a cultural center here in the Berkshires that we're really trying to brainstorm on how we make that happen. But they've been fighting the good fight for a long time. I think that as you look at the rest, you know, the tribe was a river tribe. And so most of the archaeological sites, as well as the burial grounds, are along the Housatonic River.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so as we look at the rest of river cleanup, I'm hearing good things that you know, we need to make sure we take the time to protect those historic sites.
That's exactly,
and especially
right.
Those burial sites. You know, my parents are buried up in Lenox, and I wouldn't want anyone bulldozing my parents' graves, and they don't want anybody bulldozing their parents, their ancestors' graves. And so I think as we look at this cleanup, you know, that's another area where you know, I've tried to advocate on their behalf and join their advocacy on their own behalf. So yeah, I think that's you know, what especially strikes me though, Bill, is how nice these folks are. You know, a reservation is basically a place of people of modest means. And they've got one that's about, I don't know, 800 people out in Wisconsin in the Green Bay area. And it is a community of really nice, you know, working-class folks. That really reminds me of the people I know out here in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
And I feel like focusing on these efforts of, you know, reconciliation is a fancy word. I just want to try to put people in the same room together. I'll tell you, you know, I reached out to, and we haven't figured out how to do this yet, but we're looking, we have a goal of 2025. I reached out to, you know, the good folks at the Berkshire County League of Sportsmen. It's a hunting and fishing group. So like with the idea that maybe what we can do is bring some of the folks who like to fish or hunt or whatever from the Wisconsin who've never been back east to their homeland and let them spend the weekend with these families out here who have similar interests. And that's kind of how I define things like reconciliation is you put people in the same room together and guess what? They've got shared interests. They've got, shared perspectives, and they just end up getting to know each other in a way that, it's not so much us and them. We have way too much division in today's United States, as far as I'm concerned. I'm really kind of much more focused on, how we can kind of all just take a bit of a chill pill and, get to know each other. And I think good things happen when we do that.
I lived and traveled all over the world in my career. We're all the same. We may be packaged differently.
That's right.
But the inside the package is the same. Mm-hmm. And I can say that from very poor, poor people in Haiti to all over the world. Now, as the climate is a huge issue, and I see that you won an award, actually, right? Did you win an award? Did I read that?
Yeah. Dice Glen Award.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, we got, I think Dalton was the last town in the Berkshires to get the Mass Municipal Association, Kenneth, I think his last name is Pickard, award for municipal innovation. And we actually got it in Stockbridge for the initiative to save Ice Glen. And that was basically, unfortunately we got invasives. We got this ash borer that eats the ash trees by going around the circumference. Yeah. So it kills them quick. We got the woolly adelgid that is attacking the hemlocks. I'm not an expert at trees, but I brought in those experts and they said, you have to quickly solve this problem or else you're going to lose. Those ash trees are 400 years old. They were fully grown when Concapot and Umpatine was walking Ice Glen with John Sargent, and John Sargent had first gotten there in 1737 or whatever. Those trees were full grown. And I don't want some pest to come in and kill them all at once. So we save those trees. We inject them every 2 years now with something that kills that protects them from the ash borer. And some of these parks that we have in the Berkshires, these really iconic parks. I mean, my God, Ice Glen was written up by Herman Melville in Moby Dick. He refers to Icy Glen when Ishmael is traveling. He goes, he's in Hawaii, and it reminds him of Ice Glen. And I feel like, that some of these stands, they're almost like tree museums. We're never going to say most of the ash trees have already croaked like most of the chestnut trees, but where you've got really important stands of these trees from the historic perspective, from their environmental benefit in terms of carbon, being carbon storage, but especially from the fact that it's worth saving is my point. They're worth saving. And we're going to have a lot of climate issues. They're saying in 25 years, the Berkshire's climate is going to be more like North Carolina. In 50 years, it's going to be more like Georgia. And we're going to have to figure that out. Another grant that we went with for in Stockbridge with the state Mass Department of Transportation's help is this really crazy kind of cool one, which is the Pilot Animal Crossing Grant. So what they do is they put a giant hole in the ground. It's almost like a culvert.
Yeah.
And so they're doing that at Campoosa. I don't know if we'll get it because it's competitive at the federal level, but the state had one property that they could the state applied on behalf of Stockbridge to put it at Campoosa Bog, which is the old calcareous basin fen in Massachusetts. And so it's these are like natural looking holes in the ground that even a bear could travel through. And we're going to need to look at that because climate migration is going to impact the Berkshires with humans, but it's also going to impact us with animals because all these animals are going to be trying to travel south to north to get away from the heat. Right. And looking at how we take that Pilot Animal Crossing and apply that to places like the Massachusetts Turnpike to make sure that as the critters need to go from south to north, that we give them a way to do so. These are like kind of like, there's so many facets to the climate challenge. You know, I am someone I work closely with, a guy named Steve Cowell, founded MassSafe. There's lots of things that we can do on the you should get him on the show, man. He could talk to you about energy conservation efforts like you wouldn't believe. There's a lot of things that we're going to need to do around energy efficiency and around how we do it in a way that is affordable for homeowners. But a lot of great ideas out there. And I'm buoyed. I think that, you know, I'm always amazed by the human spirit and how, you know, you set out to solve a problem and we can solve a problem. So,
a term I heard when I was assigned to South Africa, and I use it. And I think sometimes here people, they're going to clean the ocean.
Yeah. But
the stream going into the ocean is polluted. So in Africa, they used to say, a very good friend of mine over there, Tommy Numalo, he would say, "Bill, you know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time." And when
that's
you
so great.
Think about that. I mean, we have people that want to, and I'm all for it, but mm-hmm. let's work. Where is the pollution coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'll tell you, my grandmother growing up's best friend used to say, life gives you lots of chances if you let it.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of along the same lines. It's like, you gotta look at opportunities, you look at challenges, love him or hate him. I liked what Joe Biden said after the debate. He said, you get knocked down the ground, you get back up. You know, I think there's something to be said for that. And I feel like, whether it's one bite at a time or life gives you lots of chances if you let it, we got to break these big giant challenges down into their manageable parts, and you attack each of you address each part, and you come up with solutions that way. You know, it's we don't need a 10-year plan that takes 5 years to write. What right. we need is to save some trees and ash in Iceland before the bugs eat them. You know what I mean? You know,
I used to tell people what I don't want on my grave are these words: woulda, coulda, shoulda.
That's right.
Just, I think you just said something that's very important, and I hope more and more politicians and the public force to politicians start today to do something. Don't write a five. I used to work for the government, and we were creating plans 5 years, and they were obsolete in 6 months. But and nobody paid any attention to them anyhow. But I really think if we come together collectively, and I think you're a collective kind of working guy. I am. I don't know. I would rather be like who was it? Carnegie. He didn't have to know. He didn't have to know everything. He just had to surround himself with people who knew everything.
That's
so,
right.
It sounds like that's what you're doing, bringing in the tree experts. And the guy you mentioned, have him get your campaign manager, give him my number. I'd be more than happy.
All right, sure. Yeah, another good person. Bring Bob Leverett in to talk. You want to talk about trees in the Berkshires, these those, or someone like Tom Zetterstrom. I think another important point along the lines of the point you just made, Bill, is don't be afraid to fail. But folks out there, you know what? Not all the things I've tried to do in Stockbridge have been successful. You know what? But you try. You use the best information you have at the time and action. You gotta be committed to action. And when you are committed to action, hopefully most of the time it works out. And if sometimes it doesn't work out, well, do it better next time. But doing nothing is doing something.
Right.
And I've had enough of doing nothing because you got it. We're going to have to take some actions to change the course of the trajectory a little bit here. You know, I view the Cape as a kind of a cautionary tale. You know, we've got, you know, they fly the teachers into like places like Nantucket sometimes now, or they boat them into Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotten like the traffic is so bad and it's gotten so expensive to live there. You know, a friend of mine here in Stockbridge, a young one, just had a young second baby. You know, she's around 40, I guess. She was the head of the marketing manager for Nantucket Theater Festival. And when I found that out from her a couple of years ago, I said, how long ago was Nantucket like Stockbridge? And without missing a beat, she said 20 years.
Yeah, probably.
And so we, as far as I can see, we got like, we still have time to figure some of these issues out. And we still have time to kind of like, you know, kind of, you know, advocate for the middle class and deal with these issues that seem so giant. We don't know where to start. You start with the first step, you know, you start with the first step.
And, you know, I like your attitude of let's start. And if we stumble, why let's look, collectively look back and not look to place blame, look to say, where do we stumble? Okay. Oh, there. All right. Mm-hmm. We didn't see that. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Now we know it's there. We're going. That's how I try to approach things through my career. And I applaud, I really do applaud you for what you're trying to do. I think what you're saying, my sister has lived on the Cape now for probably 35, 40 years.
Yeah.
I go there once a season or off season because it's just not worth it. But I will also tell you, I just came back from Boston, Mass General. The traffic from, I'm going to say, Sturbridge in is horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna plan on taking driving to one of the parking lots. If I win this, I'll plan on driving to one of the parking lots in Worcester, or wherever the commuter rail goes from. I'm taking the train in. I'll tell you that. I lived in Boston long enough to know. Now, when I lived in Boston, I had a motorcycle, and I'll tell you the best way to get around that town is on a motorcycle because you can get around a whole lot quicker. But I feel like it's really one of the benefits out here is density and traffic. There's so many great reasons to live here. I mean, just not having to sit in traffic for an hour to get to your job. You know, it's like spend a lifetime commuting 2 hours a day. You know, that adds up to a lot of hours you could have been enjoying your life, you know?
I used to have to go, believe it or not, from Pittsfield to Boston every day.
Yeah.
And I left at about 3:45 in the morning. And then I left again at 3:15 in the afternoon. Because if I wasn't through the toll by 3:40, I wasn't going to, it'd be 5 hours to get home.
Yeah.
So you're.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, you're it's definitely. Definitely how to, the trains, planes, trains, and automobiles. I don't have a plane, but at least the trains and automobiles, I definitely feel like it's going to have to be part of the strategy. You know, luckily the legislature isn't in session every day. So, you know, but I'll tell you, a lot of the job, I think, isn't just being in the state house. It's being in the community of tech leaders and climate leaders and all the folks who are, you know, this state is along with California, one of the two most important places in terms of where companies get funded for startups.
Yeah.
But we're not doing as good a job as we could of landing the manufacturing jobs that go with those startups when they get to the second or third round of capital. You know, West Virginia, North Carolina, they're doing a better job than us. And I give Yvonne Howe, the Secretary of Economic Development, so much credit for the good work that she's doing to try to like take a roadshow mentality to try to like convince these companies to stay in Massachusetts. And, you know, even with the housing prices we have out here, it's still a lot cheaper to live out here than it is the Boston area. Oh, yeah. And this is a good place to locate one of those 25 or 50 person manufacturing facilities. And I look forward to really working with the economic development team with Governor Healey's administration to kind of work with the rest of the delegation. I don't know if it's a brownfield in Pittsfield. We have a brownfield in Stockbridge. It might be a good place. Yeah. You know, we got places you can put some of these manufacturing facilities. You know, you look at Greylock Mill in the Lee that can hold 250 jobs and it's empty. You know, how we get these to be productive, you know, facilities, and that we bring back and maintain the middle class jobs in the Berkshires. I think that's job one here, you know.
Patrick, I wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you.
And when is there going to be a primary? When is the primary?
The primary is September 3rd, and so one of those three Democratic candidates in the primary, I'm one of them, and the winner will go up against the independent candidate at the end. I just want to encourage people, if they want to learn more, go to PatrickWhiteBerkshires.com. That's PatrickWhiteBerkshires.com.
And make sure starting today that you are registered to vote.
Yes, that's absolutely great. And if you want to, you can vote by mail, you can vote in person, just vote. You know, it's like, this is the thing that, we're real lucky to have democracy in this country.
Oh,
and
yes,
I think we should avail ourselves of it. Who's in office matters.
What does it say? I think it was Barack Obama or somebody. Elections do make a difference.
Yep.
Best of luck, my friend. And folks, you can stay on because I have some announcements to make. Stay in touch.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
You bet. Good luck.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Playing at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield is one of the funniest. If you love Mel Brooks, you got to get to see this play, Young Frankenstein. I will tell you, I laughed, and not only did I laugh, I had a great time, but I also went back several years to my youth when I first saw Young Frankenstein. It is playing at the Colonial Theater. I'm sorry, Colonial Theater. And I'll give you July 2nd, July 3rd, July 5th, July 5th, July 6th, and July 7th. And then it's over. So don't waste any time. Get there and take a look at it. It is an amazing. Oh, God, it's so much fun. Also, and you heard me say it to the Patrick, if you get an opportunity to see this play, please do. It's down at the Unicorn. It's called Abe Lincoln in Illinois. And it shows not a historical side of Abe Lincoln, blah, blah, blah. It really shows Abe Lincoln with all his faux pas and questioning his own abilities and things like that. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Also a play. Get there because it's running up pretty soon. St. Joseph's Catholic Church is back. The Polish Picnic. That will be Sunday, July the 21st from noon to 5. Live polka, kiddie land, Polish American food. Admission is free. Take advantage of it. I do want to take 1 minute and thank Joe DeSico. He ran operates and started on his own shoestring Strikeout Cancer, and that was played this Saturday, June the 29th. Had a great turnout. Thank you, Joe. It's a lot of work, a lot of effort, but you know what, buddy? It's worth it. Two more things. If you get an opportunity, please go down to the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Freedom and Democracy. It's down there in Great Barrington. I am a huge supporter of W.E.B. Du Bois, and he's from here. And he was a great historical figure. So let's try to learn a little bit more about these. The Indians from Stockford. The name slipped me. But most of you know now, I don't remember where I parked the car. So on the third Wednesday of the month, most of the time at the Fryo Senior Center, there's a memory group that gets together for caregivers and people with mild cognitive impairment. What I've been told is people love it. People get to hear, I'm not in this all alone. That said, God bless, take care of each other. And today, if you can, try to make somebody smile. I do. You are the best listeners and viewers anybody could ever want. And thank you for the kind words I have received from so many of you. Be well. See you next time.